The following message is brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. To learn more about the Ezra Institute's mission to advance the Lordship of Christ, please visit www.ezrainstitute.ca.
It's great to be here, Joe. Got a couple questions for you regarding justice in the kingdom of God. We've been hearing a lot in the news lately about these social justice movements, these groups that have been looking for a liberation from oppression, for example, Black Lives Matter. But the way they've been going about justice is very different than how Christians have historically gone about justice. For example, William Wilberforce, Black lives seem to really matter to him. What's the difference?
That's a great question, Stephen. The factors that we're dealing with now, actually, with these liberationist type movements are complex. And some of the terminology used deliberately, in a sense, confuses people. Terms like justice and liberation and oppression and so forth. But they're all used with a very specific and limited sense, and typically not in a Christian sense. So the Black Lives Matter, for example, is part of a sort of nexus of progressivist liberationist movements that have come together with other liberationist type movements that essentially believe that the world should be divided up along the lines of the victimizers and the victim, the oppressors and the oppressed, the haves and the have-nots, and that we need to get those who are seen to be the oppressors, and we need to overturn every sort of structural, social, cultural norm that's informed or justified by any sort of transcendent moral frame of reference. So in many respects, Black Lives Matter represents an almost anarchistic type of group, and that's what these liberationist movements increasingly really are about. They're just really about overturning any semblance of the Christian established social order in the West. The kind of cruel irony, though, with some of this is that the groups that Black Lives Matter would support and work with are groups for whom Black lives don't matter. Take, for example, Planned Parenthood, the abortionist provider, the abortion provider in the United States. Planned Parenthood was founded by a racist, Margaret Sanger. She wasn't just a racist, she was a eugenicist. She believed in the doctrines of eugenics, which really were about breeding a better humanity. And her clinics targeted the poor, the disenfranchised, ethnic minorities. In fact, it's not often recognized that even today, 79% of surgical abortion clinics are placed within walking distance of African American and Latino communities. So the agenda of Planned Parenthood has nothing to do with Black lives or ethnic minorities mattering. What matters is their ideology. We're increasingly seeing that, for example, here in Canada recently, the LGBT movement and Black lives are collaborating as, you know, in this liberation from oppression. And they've now banned the police from being part of that march because there's an anti-authority aspect to all of this as well. And the police are perceived to be, you know, anti-Black. And so Black lives have demanded that the police not be involved. So it's a pretty complex mess, to be quite honest with you. But it's not really about caring for Blacks. When you think as well that in America today, 7 out of 10 young people who grow up in a Black family, Black community, don't have a father present. They grow up without a dad. And yet these anarchistic Black Lives Matter type movements or movement, they are on board with every anti-family policy and perspective that you can think of. And yet what is desperately needed in a Black America is for a recovery and the cohesion of the nuclear family. So at root, this isn't about Black lives mattering. In fact, Black Lives Matter released a sort of manifesto recently, a 10-point manifesto with a litany of their demands, some of which were the abolition of the death penalty in America, reparations, which included free access to a lifetime of education, guaranteed livable wage for all black people, the decriminalization of drug-related crimes, and the release of all offenders who've committed drug-related offenses with all their records erased, and the same for everybody involved in prostitution, every black person involved in prostitution, the control of institutions and policies and local police by the black community in those communities, automatic voter registration, including undocumented people, and the enfranchisement of incarcerated and formerly incarcerated people. So what you have there is just a sort of litany of demands of reparations to bring about this egalitarian, equalitarian, even utopian order that allegedly corrects these so-called structural oppressions. So that's what those kinds of movements are about. And that is very, very different from what Christians historically and even should today have in mind when it comes to realizing justice. For the Christian, every life matters. All life matters because it belongs to God. Human beings are made in God's image. We have an equal dignity in our creaturehood before God, and therefore we're all under God's law. We're all in need of his gospel, and we all share common responsibilities and have common obligations both to God and to each other. And so as Christians think about the issue of justice, that's what they have in mind, not this sort of liberationist nexus. And from a Christian perspective, this whole trading on the idea of racism is not an idea that you can get from the Bible. For the Christian worldview, there is no such thing as races. There is the human race. So you have one race, the human race. We're all descended from Adam and from Noah and his family, his sons. And in fact, Paul the Apostle makes clear in Acts 17 that we're all from one blood. So there is only one race, the race in Adam. Enlightenment thought began to think, and non-Christian thought began to think in terms of the superiority of European peoples. And this was greatly enhanced by Charles Darwin and his book, The Descent of Man, in which he started to argue in evolutionary terms that some people groups, some races were more highly evolved and developed than others, and some were almost barely human. And then you had this eugenics movement that that followed on. In fact, started by some of Darwin's own relatives. So racism is not a Christian idea. The Christian cannot possibly be a racist. In fact, Scripture makes clear, if we actually believe in Christ and we accept his word, that there is neither Jew nor Greek. So the great sort of people group division, and there are people groups in Scripture, the great people group division in the Bible was Jew and Gentile. And Paul, the apostle, tells us that that's been completely broken down in Ephesians 2. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. That is not to say that the distinction between male and female is eliminated. Rather that we stand before God, equal before God. So you cannot find the roots of racism in Christianity. It comes out of humanistic philosophy, ironically. And so the thing they claim to be against, racism, is the very thing that their philosophy has always perpetuated. And that's why it was always divisive, divides people into us and them, haves, have-nots, victim, victimizer, oppressed, oppressor, rather than recognizing our unity in terms of and our equality, in terms of our creation in the image of God, and finding that as the basis for common concern together. God's law, God's justice, God's rule in the earth, which deals with all men fairly, truthfully, with equity and with justice.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Ezra Institute for Contemporary Christianity. Please feel free to share it with friends, but do not charge for or alter the material in any way without the express written consent of the EICC. Thank you.